The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's always nice to be with you here on the Trumpet Daily Radio Program. It's a beautiful day outside this morning. It's a little bit cool, but really very pleasant for this time of year. I think we have some rain coming in the next few days. I was leaving our Hall of Administration, walking through the parking lot to drive over here, and just looking over toward Armstrong Auditorium, just a beautiful sight. With sunrise coming up and just the clouds, everything about it is just a very beautiful day. Well, Stephen Fleury is obviously not here today. My name's Andrew Locher. I will be taking today's program. I believe Stephen Fleury will be back with us tomorrow, but certainly later this week, joined by a faithful team of producers that come in each morning to help with the live broadcast. They're very busy themselves. So thanks to them for coming in, but also thanks to you for listening. It's been about 6 years since the FCC, you probably can't see it, I'm sure you can't, but the FCC granted us a construction permit for KPCG in, I think it was about the third week in January 2015. And shortly thereafter, we got the facilities up and going, and we've been broadcasting since March of 2016. So coming up on 5 years of programming here on KPCG, 5 years of broadcasting. We'll be renewing our license this coming year. That's something for all of us to keep in mind and to pray about. The beauty, I think, of the radio station is it does really kind of force us to keep up with the schedule. If it was just a podcast, it'd be easy to push it back an hour or two or maybe even a day or two. But when you have live broadcast over the air with radio, it does kind of force you into keeping up with programming. It is pretty interesting to think about all of the programming that has taken place over 5 years. It's hard to believe it's been 5 years. We'd appreciate you sending in your thoughts. Maybe you have some good memories, some favorite programs that have been broadcast over the past 5 years. We'd love to hear from you. If you would like to send us feedback, you can send that to td@kpcg.fm. And again, if you have some memories or some ideas, I guess we'd like to hear all of those. Just kind of an interesting fact of how much God has given us through this station. I went onto our archives earlier this morning, and I looked, and we've had over 1,400 Trumpet Daily radio programs. If you're watching the YouTube stream, I'm sure you're familiar with it, but you can go to the archives of all of the programming that's put forward on this radio station on our website. 1,400 Trumpet Daily radio shows. There's 558 episodes of the Trumpet Hour. There's 180 episodes of Live by Every Word. It really is quite a thorough resource. We have obviously just the best literature. We have Behind the Work. There's all kinds of programming. I'm forgetting a bunch of them. Watch Jerusalem, Music for Life. Just a tremendous variety. A lot of effort that goes into producing each program. And we've grown accustomed to it now over all of these years. Well, on today's show, it'll be a little bit busier show. Anxious to have Stephen Fleury back to discuss some of the political events from the past week or so. But I'll begin today's program with a few tweets that President Donald Trump blasted out over the weekend. And just even looking at a few this morning, very interesting. One of the things that I think aggravates the leftist media, that aggravates those that are not Trump supporters, is his ability to communicate. And one of the platforms he has to use just by nature of the reach of this platform and its popularity is Twitter. And as a reminder, Twitter only allows you 280 characters per tweet. Obviously, you can have follow-on tweets and roll them on that way. But it's amazing what Donald Trump can communicate in just 280 words or less. We'll read some of those here in just a moment, but also on today's program, we'll take a short break and then come back and talk about God's work in 2020. It's been a tremendous work. It's ended with a real strong push. We'll discuss that, probably take one more break, and then look forward to what we can expect in 2021, some of the events that will shape the work, that will shape the world that we live in. So let's talk about some of these fighting words from Donald Trump over the weekend. Most of these tweets that I'll talk about today were they came out on Saturday, the 26th of December. He started in the morning, and he went all the way till midnight with some of the tweets that I have here. It's not too uncommon for him to be that active on Twitter to communicate as best he can to those in the public that aren't getting these stories, that aren't getting these thoughts through the media like they should. He said, starting in the morning, I believe this was at 7 a.m. on Saturday, he said, a Democrat presidential candidate had an election rigged and stolen with proof of such acts at a level never seen before, the Democrat senators would consider it an act of war and fight to the death. He went on to say, Mitch and the Republicans do nothing, just want to let it pass, no fight. And the only exception to that is the fight that they do put up, that the Republicans put up, or Mitch McConnell. Their fight is against those that stand for the truth. That's when they become a little bit more aggressive to suppress any questioning of the election, to just move forward. Pretty swampy, if you ask me. And I think that's what a lot of people are saying. It doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican. It's just the institution. It's Washington. It's the media. And it proves that there's a spirit behind that. I doubt that they have a lot of concentrated effort where they're trying to work together on different things. But, of course, there's probably some of that coordination. But really, there's a spirit behind it. About 15 minutes later, Donald Trump said the Justice Department, and he had justice in quotes, the Justice Department and the FBI have done nothing about the 2020 presidential election voter fraud, the biggest scam in our nation's history, despite overwhelming evidence. They should be ashamed. History will remember. Never give up, the president says. Never give up. See everyone in D.C. on January 6th. And as we'll talk about when we get closer to the end of today's program, there is momentum building. There is energy building. You'd have to naturally question an individual that calls out the media, the Congress, that calls out the FBI and the Justice Department, somebody that takes a position, well, everybody in the world is against me. And yet it's true. It's true. He's right. Look at the evidence. How could one individual have that much confidence? Well, we understand why, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. Later on Saturday, the president said, this is a little bit longer tweet, it was broken into a few, but he said, it's time for Republican senators to step up and fight for the presidency like the Democrats would if they had actually won. The proof is irrefutable. Massive late-night mail-in ballot drops in swing states, stuffing the ballot boxes on video, double voters, dead voters, fake signatures, illegal immigrant voters, banned Republican vote watchers, more votes than actual voters. Check out Detroit and Philadelphia, he says, and much more. The numbers are far greater than what is necessary to win the individual swing states and cannot even be contested. Courts are bad. The FBI and justice didn't do their job. And the United States election system looks like that of a third world country. Freedom of the press has been gone for a long time. It's fake news. And now we have big tech with Section 230 to deal with. But when it's all over and this period of time becomes just another ugly chapter in our country's history, we will win. There is confidence in truth. There's uneasiness when we're not truthful. Now, I'll talk in just a moment but about the Section 230. There's some indication that there might be some compromise there, perhaps. But if you just read 300 words or less, or in that last example, maybe 600 words. Think about all that is communicated there. Later that same day, Donald Trump called attention to the Michigan Attorney General. Her name is Dana Nessel, and she's been threatening attorneys that are looking into election irregularities in Michigan. So here you have a district attorney that's supposed to stand for justice weighing both sides of the equation. You have the scale of justice. There's accusation. There's defense. And you're looking to see what are the facts. And you're supposed to be part of a just like an unbiased judge. Now, of course, the attorney general is supposed to prosecute things that are illegal. But here she's threatening lawyers. Donald Trump said these lawyers are true patriots who are fighting for the truth and obviously getting very close. Attorney general should be sanctioned. Fight on. He's got to call out, corrupt politicians, corrupt FBI, Justice Department, media. It is a very heavy fight. Donald Trump moved on to the coronavirus lockdowns. He wasn't done. He said the lockdowns in Democrat, this is still from Donald Trump. The lockdowns in Democrat-run states are absolutely ruining the lives of so many people, far more than the damage that would have been caused by the China virus. Cases in California have risen despite the lockdown, yet Florida and others are open and doing well. Common sense, please. Just a little common sense. Mr. Sam Livingston sent across just a couple graphs today that you can find online about South Dakota. And how South Dakota, the governor there, Kristi Noem, how she's flattened the curve, right? Everybody has to deal with it. It is a virus that's moving around. And they've taken a very different approach in South Dakota. They have not issued the statewide mask mandates. They haven't shut things down to the same level as other areas. And yet you find great success in addressing the virus and the problem. We've all seen this. I just keep fighting back the urge to write letters to the media, to politicians that ask if they've noticed the connection or the coincidence of the face mask mandates and the rise of confirmed cases and deaths. Now, again, I'm not going to dispute all of that. I'm sure there's perhaps some value there, but they won't talk about that. They just, as we know, and I'm not here to just go on and on. We've all had these discussions, these arguments, you could say, about the science that's behind things. And it just shows how futile mankind is. Mankind's pretty good at fighting with mankind. But when you take on viruses and those type of things, well, we're just kind of left at the mercy of the virus. There's really very little we can do about it. Unless we take a spiritual approach, and we'll talk about that again in just a moment. So Donald Trump took on the corruption that's going on in Congress. He's urging the Republicans to fight. He's talking to attorneys general. He's calling out the media. And then he gets into the lockdowns, COVID. This is all on Saturday. All of the main issues facing this nation, you wouldn't know it if you watched the regular news. But these are the issues that are shaping our country, that are shaping the world. And we have to rely on statements that are 300 words or less and just going through a series of subjects there. Very, very impressive in many ways to call attention to these details. Another tweet from Donald Trump on Saturday, 2,000 plus 2,000 plus other family members, not $600. Remember, this is China's fault. That was a tweet from Donald Trump in reference to the stimulus checks that Congress is suggesting that they roll out. Now, last night, there was a kind of a sudden and I think shocking change in position with Donald Trump, where he agreed to sign the bill for the COVID relief and the omnibus bill. And he followed that up with, he took some criticism for it, but he suggested there that he was promised support from the Republican Senate, that they would look at increasing those stimulus payments and that they would consider the Section 230 and perhaps taking that out to limit the powers of a very corrupt big tech industry that manipulates public opinion. That it's in the hands of just a few companies that are ultra liberal. There's no question about it, and yet they're protected from being held accountable, like other media sources. It doesn't make any sense. It's an abuse of legislation, and it needs to be corrected. And so I think Donald Trump, in an effort to level that playing field, agreed to sign that legislation. And we'll see. We'll see if the senators are people of their word. It does seem quite dubious. I'll be surprised to see how things move. And so I was doing a little math over the weekend because I thought, well, $600, you know, per person, that's wonderful to help those that need it. But obviously we know it's just absolutely inconsequential if you're out of work, if you're struggling with work. A $2,000 stimulus payment is certainly more effective. We're more appreciative of something like that. But what does this cost? I was kind of struggling to find specific numbers here. I'll go with what I found on Forbes this morning. They estimate that 176 million Americans will receive this stimulus payment. And at least that's about the same number that received the first round of stimulus payment in the spring. And the cost of $2,000 per person receiving that is close to $553 billion. This help to stimulate the economy. It's not just to their intention is not that people just use it to put in their savings, although that's probably a wiser thing if you're able to do that. But they're hoping to stimulate the economy, to get consumer spending going. Consumer spending, I think, accounts for like 75% of the economy. And I stand to be corrected on that. But they're trying to inject some activity into the economy to keep things going. Now, if you look at a $600 payment per person, that equates to about $166 billion. So there is almost a $400 billion difference of increasing from $600 per person to $2,000. The Hill tweeted this, said, "And in the swampiest thing ever, the bill, which is combined with the $1.4 trillion omnibus spending bill, is 5,593 pages long, or 5,583 pages too many. That was given to the lawmakers with 6 hours before the vote to review what exactly is in it." And it says, hint, more pork than a Tyson food plant. Right? pretty funny. Their point is, you know, it's ludicrous to expect anybody to study that bill, to challenge. It'd be wonderful if we had the line item veto power. I was trying to explain to my 15-year-old daughter how all of this works and how the lawmakers and lobbyists and just humanity, how they take advantage of a moment of crisis. Several commentators have called attention to some of the swampy pork, if I can call it that, gator meat, maybe we'll call it that. You know, the ridiculous things that are part of this omnibus spending bill. And some of it is tied in, obviously, with the COVID relief. It's two different bills. It's not just a $900 billion aid package to combat coronavirus. They also need to spend $1.4 trillion just to keep the government going. At this time of crisis, at this time of unparalleled economic trouble, $2.3 trillion signed into effect last night. We understand about the $10 million going to Pakistan, $700 million going to Sudan, $506 million to South America, $300 million to Caribbean. Mind you, these are millions. These aren't billions. And I was thinking, oh, well, maybe if they could strike those packages of foreign aid from spending and reinvest that to offset the difference between a $600 check and a $2,000 check, well, maybe this will have an impact. Maybe that's how we can pay to increase the relief for Americans. The omnibus bill includes $500 million for Jordan and Syria, for their border wall, for Jordan and Syria, $86 million to Cambodia, $1.3 billion for Egypt. Okay, we finally get to Egypt, $1.3 billion. We get to $1 billion. And yet, if you add all of that up, those items I just mentioned to you, that's $3.5 billion. $3.5 billion. What did I say the difference was? $400 billion between a $600 check and a $2,000 check. So if you strike out all of that, the offensive programs that we're supporting in the bill, 3.5%, less than 1% of the difference. We're dealing with numbers that we cannot wrap our minds around. It has gotten so bad, it's unfixable. Yesterday, Rand Paul, I think it was yesterday, it was over the weekend, I believe, anyway, that Rand Paul put out a study to just categorize or to catalog wasteful spending in the last year by the federal government. He found examples of $54 billion worth of wasted spending. I have a quote here. This is from Politico from this morning, and it kind of breaks down the two bills, the $900 billion stimulus package and then the $1.4 trillion omnibus bill. They talk about – the headline kind of caught my attention because really some of this relief is very temporary. We're talking about 3 months' worth of relief, extending the unemployment benefits. There's a considerable talk about stimulus checks number three that they anticipate putting out by the Biden administration. We'll see what happens here, but they – if you just look at some of this spend, they want to help with unemployment. They want to give tax breaks. They're going to keep the spending consistent on the border wall. They're actually going to allow for $20 million new resources to continue with the border wall construction. They've approved $15 billion for Customs and Border Patrol, $8 billion for ICE. But there's no new funding for increased number of Border Patrol agents or immigration enforcement personnel. We'll build more walls. We'll kind of keep things going, but nobody to really enforce it. $45 billion in transportation aid is part of this package. $15 billion to help the airlines. $14 billion for mass transit. $10 billion for state highways. $2 billion for airports. And $1 billion for Amtrak. $1 billion. Hopefully they'll get some new trains. There's food and farmer assistance part of this. There's the one positive thing is they're passing legislation to prevent surprise billing when you have a medical emergency. They're trying to limit some of these just outrageous bills that come if you need an air ambulance. It can cost you quite a bit of money, as you'd expect. And you sometimes you need that type of emergency assistance. And yet when you recover from it all, there's a lot of money that's been spent. And maybe they don't need to do that all the time. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. Billions of dollars for vaccines, $20 billion to purchase vaccines. For people that don't really want to take it, I saw a heartbreaking video last night of a nurse somewhere, I think she was in Texas or Florida, a nurse that got the COVID shot, felt okay for a few minutes, and then she developed Bell's palsy. She had a mask on, and she took the mask off, and you could see half of her face paralyzed, just crying and pleading with people to really consider whether or not they want to take that vaccine. It's not an isolated case. We've seen others get shots on TV, and then they faint later. And yet there's this push to get everybody into the vaccine line. And you know, we'd shut down New York City to save one life, right? You remember Mr. Cuomo saying that. What about the damage they're doing to multiple lives with the vaccination program that they've just rushed through? They're testing new science. It's just you see all of these problems going on. There's $2 billion set aside for FEMA to assist with burial expense to put all the bodies in the ground. I could go on and on. Higher education compromise. They're now allowing for Pell Grants to be given to incarcerated students. And so you could be in jail and the government will send you a Pell Grant, a non-repayable grant to further your education. Another good thing, perhaps, a 3% increase in pay for the troops. They approved the purchase of another nuclear attack submarine. This one, I think, is very interesting. The legislation authorizes Smithsonian Women's History Museum and the National Museum of American Latino, or the near National Mall, or on or near the National Mall, to establish new museums. So we're going to have new museums built. And these are costs that are approved by some of the very legislatures that tore down statues, that boxed them up and created them. Maybe they should invest in warehouses to take all of our old statues and put those to the side. They're giving money for new museums at a time where we're tearing everything down. You can go on and on and on about these things. It's infuriating in so many ways. I'd like to encourage you to go back and watch Jesse Waters' program. I think this is from Saturday night. If you go to Citizen Free Press, they just have his opening monologue. It's about 8 or 9 minutes, and he just talks about this insanity. But in that monologue, toward the very end, he says, in 2021, let's relight that great American spirit. Stand up to this den of thieves. And he's talking about the D.C. politicians. He's talking about the corrupt media. He says, stand up to this den of thieves, because they'll just keep robbing us blind until we do something about it. Nice sentiment, but it's too late for that. Stand up, relight this great American spirit. This is not about the revolution of a man, of half of a country. It's really about reconciling with God. That's really what needs to happen. That is the only solution to bring God back to the center of our lives, individually and as a nation. We can't relight anything. There honestly needs to be wholesale change. Again, no studies to maybe associate removing God from, you know, the schoolrooms, from our public statues, any reference to God, and then all the problems we have. That would just be laughed at if it was to be suggested. And yet that's the very lesson that needs to be learned. It's too late for this corrupt society. But as you know, God is doing something about it. And we'll discuss that after a short break. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily radio program.
This is KPCG-FM. And this is the Trumpet Daily. In the summer of 1926, Herbert W. Armstrong asked himself, who am I? What am I? Why am I? He tried to reason out the answer, but he couldn't. It was a mystery. Not long after that, he was confronted with a mind-disturbing challenge on the theory of evolution and the question of Sunday observance. After many months of virtually night and day intensive study, the answers were revealed with proof that was positive and absolute. These answers and many more are thoroughly explained in Mystery of the Ages, which is available to you at no cost or obligation. Time has proven Mystery of the Ages to be the most important book written in nearly 1,900 years. This world's humanity has been blinded to who, what, and why man is. How man appeared on Earth. Man has been mystified by his inability to solve his problems or find answers to the perplexing questions of mankind and the world he inhabits. All these mysteries were long ago revealed by the one supreme authority of all knowledge, but in a coded message, not allowed to be revealed and decoded until our time. In Mystery of the Ages, these great mysteries of life are thoroughly explained in vivid detail. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Well, thank you for staying with us. It sounds like we're having a few technical issues. Today we'll get those resolved, so we're back to normal moving forward this week. It's interesting. In a way, it's kind of sad how little support President Trump really has. We've made note of that over the last several weeks. But really, it's not accurate to say that. I mean, there is very little support from the Republican Party or human beings. But if you study the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 14 in particular, verses 26 through 27, we've referred to this a number of times. I'll just paraphrase this, just picking up a few words. It says, "For the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter." I mean, it is a bitter condition. We're on the brink of civil war and so much anxiety, so much fear and corruption. And God does see it. He does see it. Says that there was not any to shut up, or there's none left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel. It's not going to be removed from under heaven. It says, but he, or God, saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. A scripture that we're well acquainted with. God is temporarily saving Israel. He's warning. God doesn't take pleasure in all of the corruption and the problems and even the death that's facing our nations. The president is not on his own. God is working to save, to make time for this work, to warn, because believe it or not, things are about to get much worse. And God is a God of mercy that's out there pleading with us to address the problems in our lives. Instead of blaming everybody else for the problems, God's saying, why don't you look at yourself? If you have a copy of Mystery of the Ages, that's fantastic. You should take it out and study it. If you don't have a copy, please, please, you really need to study it. You need to have a copy that you can read with your Bible. Mystery number 6 is the mystery of the church. It's the longest chapter in the book. And just to give you the gist of that, the church exists to train us. It's a training environment to prepare leaders to change the way this world is functioning, to bring on God's utopia. Mystery of the Ages is a long book. I'll save you some time, at least to wet your whistle. The latest archive program on Live by Every Word by Mr. Falk addresses this very chapter. God is training leaders. There is some correction coming. There is some cleansing. God's not looking to carry anything from this world on into the future. It is about to crumble. And God has established a work. One of the ministers and his wife that are attending here from South Africa, she sent me an email last week. And she just kind of tells her story. But just to encourage you about the work, in 1997, she said, the Philadelphia Church of God had a poster campaign where they put large posters with Herbert W. Armstrong's picture in various places throughout the country. This is throughout Kenya. It says, one such place was my rural hometown of Meru, which is about 4 hours away from Nairobi. Meru used to have many Worldwide Church of God members, which I believe was one of the reasons it was one of the places chosen for the ads. My husband and I were dating at the time, and he had come to visit me from Nairobi. He took me and a friend of mine to this restaurant in Meru where one of those posters was placed at the gate. He got really excited and immediately called the contact person as soon as he went back to Nairobi. As a result, he started counseling and was invited to start attending. Years later, we came to learn that he was the only one that was called as a result of that campaign. I'm sure the campaign cost lots of money, resources, and effort. But that just goes to show how much God values each one of us, that he'd go to such great pains to call just one person from a whole country. And from that one person, there are now 6 members in God's church. Very inspiring what God can do. God will go to great lengths to bring one person to the truth, to add to his family. We're in a very aggressive advertising campaign right now, promoting God's truth, trying to bring awareness of a change that's coming. Now, coronavirus has changed our world as very few people could have ever predicted. And now it's just accepted as routine, right? The Jesse Waters program draws attention to that. Just how tragic, though, that humans just surrender their liberties, surrender their common sense, as President Trump said. But, you know, God's work hasn't stopped. We've worked through the challenges in faith. We've carried out all of our planned activities for 2020. We've had to adjust some schedules, but just looking back over 2020, we've had so many family-oriented projects. God has allowed us here at headquarters to keep the holy days. We've kept them in the field. Our school operations have continued. The summer educational program, the Feast of Tabernacles. We've had a limited program through our foundation, a limited concert series, but we've also been able to perform Celtic Throne and the Paul Ambassador in Bonds performance. Just really uplifting activities. God isn't slowed down by coronavirus. We're at the ministerial conference right now. It's soon to be followed by the Singles Winter Weekend. For the past 4 or 5 days, we've had about 75% of our ministry, worldwide ministry, that were able to travel here. Most of those numbers are made up from domestic U.S. and Canadian ministers. But we've been receiving instruction from our pastor general, the host of the Key of David program, Gerald Fleury. And we're getting our focus from him. And we're getting insight into what we'll be speaking about, what he'll be speaking about on the Key of David program and through articles. And so we're busy trying to keep up with what God's communicating to the world. And you'll see the fruits of this conference flow through articles, through radio programs, through television programs. God wants to inspire. God wants to lift us up. Our regular Trumpet Daily host, Stephen Fleury, he's addressed the delegation of ministers. He was speaking on the weekend to us, just giving us God's instruction. God is building a family. God's not negative. He's not pessimistic. He's not slowing things down, locking things, covering up his creation. Just the contrary. God is expanding. He's blessing us. This Sabbath that we had over 500 people attending services. We had a special morning tea. We had a family dance. We're protected. We're inspired. We have these family activities. That's what God wants our focus on. Those are the solutions. That's the abundant life. If you study Mystery of the Ages, you understand exactly what is going on. Prior to the ministerial conference, again, Oklahoma has less restrictions in place. We have a very big theater, but we were able to host hundreds of different people to the performances of the Paul musical. You heard reference to that last week. And the Singles Winter Weekend that follows just a couple days from now. All of this activity, and it is hundreds of people, and it affects thousands of people. And the school programs will resume, and some of it is distance learning, some of it is over the internet. But it's this cycle of education. God is training. God is training. I'm taking way too much time getting this far into the program today. During my presentation at the ministerial conference, I was really trying to encourage the ministry to encourage a deeper, more penetrating study, Bible study. Not just reading over an article quickly or listening to a program, but really digging into our Bible. I had an example there of a trumpet brief that was sent out. This is from December 3rd. And the title of it is "An Astonishing Archaeological Discovery is Imminent." And I would encourage you to go back and dig that out and really study it. It's fascinating. It's another one of those bold prophetic statements from this work, from our pastor general, that you know is going to happen. You can have absolute confidence in it. And the Bible tells you how things will happen. And this entire trumpet brief, it's not just about an archaeological discovery. It points you to the throne of David. It does mention archaeology. It gets into the Bible. But ultimately, it's a lesson about the solutions God is sending. There is a promise of a Messiah coming. And God gives us these signs to inspire us, to prepare us for that. So as we study our Bibles, you've heard reference before to Acts 17, verse 11, the Berean attitude, the way they approached their Bible study with a readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures. They searched. If you look up that word searched in a lexicon, Thayer's talks about, I'll just kind of paraphrase, it's like doing detective work. That's how we have to approach our Bible study. It is laid out there for us, but we know the Bible talks about putting different pieces together, about maybe using a study aid like a lexicon to understand the words. But the concept here is you have to be a detective in your Bible study. And to me, that's really inspiring. It isn't just rote memorization. It's not ritualistic. It's an academic experience where you really pour yourself into it. Paul encouraged Timothy, an evangelist, to really refine his skills, to present himself a workman before God that's not ashamed. How much confidence do we have in our Bible study? It's not just about putting in the time. It's about using these materials. Maybe you get a spark or a thought on a Trumpet Daily radio program. Get into your Bible. Get into the material. Dig in and really learn as much as you can. I just challenge you, as I challenge myself, to anticipate and consume the Trumpet Brief. It's like a teaser that brings us into a world event that gives us something really to wrap our minds around. And that kind of leads into my next topic. I'll skip the break because I've taken so long to get to this point in my notes. If you have a Bible, you can write down and look up Luke chapter 21, verses 32 through 36. You can study that on your own later. Again, I'll just paraphrase for you. Christ says that this generation is not going to pass until all of these prophecies are fulfilled. Once you see these things starting to happen, you know that everything that's prophesied for this time, everything's going to happen in an abbreviated period of time. Christ said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass. That's confidence. That's an anchor for us to make sure that we know exactly how to stay grounded through all of these tumultuous times. It's exciting to watch prophecy. You get up and you discover there's been a bombing in Nashville. The next day there's, missile fire between nations. You have all of these different events happening. You have to put it all together to maintain sanity. Verse 34 talks about it says, take heed to yourself. Don't let the cares of this world distract you. Don't get caught up in materialism. The next verse, he said, it's like a snare. And it's going to capture everyone on the whole earth. His solution, verse 36, you're familiar with this. Luke 21:36 says, watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Right? You have to watch and pray. You have to have intelligent watching. Not just haphazard looking at the local newspaper. You have to have a global view. But that even has to be guided by the Bible, by prophecy. And that's the blessing of KPCG and thetrumpet.com. All of these materials help us be intelligent in watching. They teach us how to pray. And if we could focus on that, we know with confidence what's coming. There are a lot of areas to watch. We need a focus, though. We have to really watch what matters because there is knowledge. It's just abounding and people run to and fro as Daniel prophesied. It can be confusing. I just looked for a couple news sources for what they predict will happen in the next year. And then I compared it to what God says. What do we talk about? What does the Bible teach? We have to have God's direction. That's the starting place. You can get off, spin off on something that's just absolutely meaningless and insignificant. I mean, as difficult as coronavirus is, if you get so focused on that, you're missing the bigger picture. And yet that seems so obvious. What should we be watching for? Well, God tells us. I'll give you just a few areas. Number one that I have here. Ties back to what we said in November 23rd, 2020, Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury boldly wrote an article entitled, Why Donald Trump Will Remain America's President. It's really bold. That's the key thing to watch right now. It's in the January edition of the Trumpet magazine. We've been promoting this online. We've had thousands and thousands, over 100,000 page views, probably more than that. We're promoting it throughout the United States. It's on the internet. We're targeting French and German language readers. It's being promoted in Israel right now. We're looking at expanding this. This is clearly going to dominate the news cycle here very shortly. All of this exposure of the rhinos and the left media and just all of these people that are being exposed. And yet we have absolute confidence in that title. That title is accurate. And yet it goes against everyone's thoughts in the world. I mean, there was a lot of support initially because, as Donald Trump said, the evidence is ample. It's overwhelming. And yet it's being suppressed and they're fighting against it. But God tells us that it is going to end with Donald Trump remaining as president. Very exciting to watch. We've all talked about the problem with the media, the problem with other religions is they lack faith. They lack faith. Perhaps I don't want to call it an individual, but I'm going to. Pat Robertson. Really, what an example of shallow religion, right? Very confident that he was behind the president, very confident things will work out, and so quick to flip. I found this explanation of him is probably from Wikipedia. I didn't write down the source. Marion Gordon. I wonder why he changed his name to Pat. Marion Gordon, Pat Robertson, is an American media mogul, televangelist, political commentator, former Republican presidential candidate, a former Southern Baptist minister. Robertson advocates a conservative Christian ideology and is known for his past activities in the Republican Party and politics. He hosts the 700 Club. And to be quite honest, I hope he loses all of his viewers. Think of all of that platform that he's had, all of his experience running for president, being a televangelist, having this empire at his disposal, and just flipping and flopping. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Where's the faith? Well, they don't know their Bible, and that's exactly Christ's point. That's what I'm trying to point out here. We have to know our Bible. What does God say? And if we know that, we can have absolute confidence. We can stand out there and be bold as a lion. I challenge you, if you do not attend services with the Philadelphia Church of God, go ask your pastor, go ask the leadership why they aren't talking about this. Where is their faith? And just remember, when this prophecy comes to pass, remember where you heard it and have the courage and the faith to join and support that work. Another area to watch, I won't necessarily number these, but I think these two are definitely important. Watch January 16th and January 17th for world events that reinforce where God's work is functioning. Those days revolve around an end time Elijah. We have a great book here, January 16th, God's Miracle Day. If you don't have a copy, again, something to request. You really need to study that book. Through the Old Testament prophet Malachi, just kind of a side point here to explain where that book comes from. Malachi 3 verse 1, there's a prophecy that God would send an Elijah. And it also combines, or there's a parallel prophecy, companion prophecy in Matthew 17. You can also look at Matthew 24. Just you tie all these prophecies together. If you're studying, you see that God sent a type of the Elijah, John the Baptist, to prepare for Christ's first coming. And yet the prophecy here, especially in Malachi, talks about an end time messenger to prepare the way for Christ's return. And we can actually associate a name with that prophesied individual, Herbert W. Armstrong. If you're familiar with the church, it's just an obvious point. Mr. Armstrong died on January 16th, 1986. And as the booklet points out, if you just go back and look at world events that coincide with that date, or the 17th, the first day of the Laodicean era, you start to find these prophetically significant events that take place on that day that punctuates the role that Herbert Armstrong played for God for his work. Just a few examples. January 16th, 1990, Malachi's message reaches people for the first time. January 17th, 1993, the Key of David program airs for the first time on seven different television stations. January 16th, 1997, we first print Mystery of the Ages. And again, request your copy if you don't have one. Then you get into 2001 and 2 and 3 and moving forward, you find construction of this campus, of all of these facilities, and it just keeps expanding and expanding. January 16th, 2003, perhaps one of the biggest and most important days. We had a court case victory that gives us rights to all of those works from Mr. Armstrong that we promote and distribute. Of late, January 16th, 2017, read our book, The New Throne of David, to understand what was so monumental, the change, the blessing, the excitement that happened on that day. I encourage you to request the New Throne of David book. You can look at other events that are maybe a little bit more secular in nature. January 16th, 1991, Operation Desert Storm is launched. January 17th, 1994, the massive 6.7 earthquake in California, one of the biggest disasters in American history. Space Shuttle Columbia, we draw attention to that. It launched on January 16th. It was damaged in the launch, and a couple days later, it was destroyed on reentry. And kind of just marked the end of America's ambitious space program, at least manned missions to space. January 16th, 2004, you have exposures from the Hubble Deep Field View are all put together in one photo. Very, very inspiring. I'll just give you something else to look forward to. In 2021, they intend to launch the James Webb Space Telescope. That should give us even better pictures and images of what lies out there. So many events. I'll just rattle off a few more here for you to consider. Spending by the nations of Israel in this end time, something to watch. It's going to put the global economy at risk and will likely contribute to World War III. It's predicted that in early 2021 that the federal debt held by the public will be equal to or larger than the economy. To put that in perspective, if you earn $50,000 a year working at your job, if you lived like the federal government, you would spend $51,000 a year and put it on your credit card. You're entering into a cycle that you can never escape from. And it's not just that year. You've got all this history now, all of these deficits. $2.3 trillion approved to be spent over the next several months. It is going to lead to problems. Watch the Middle East, Jerusalem in particular, but watch archaeology, as that trumpet brief pointed out. But it's not just the archaeology that we watch. There are nations and ideologies or ideologies in the Middle East, radical Islam, Iran. Watch for terrorism. And you'd think that we'd say, well, watch for the U.S. fighting with Iran or Israel. There will be some skirmishes there, no doubt. But the Bible tells us to keep our eyes on interactions between the king of the south and the king of the north. And if you need education on that, we have materials, Bible studies that you can pour yourself into. Watch the European Union scaling back from 27 nations down to 10. Whether or not that happens in the next year or so is you know, yet to be seen. But the seeds are being sown. So much to watch. In Matthew 24, the Olivet Prophecy, Christ says, when you see all of these things begin to happen, know that the end is near. Know that Christ is about to return. He's right at the very doors. So much to watch. So much excitement coming up. Each passing day, it's just like the work of God. And in fact, the January 16th booklet points that out, that fact out, that as you see these events accelerating in the world, there's a corresponding acceleration in family activities with God's work. And you just see all of this coming together. Everything's building to a climax. We look at 2020 in retrospect and we think, wow, I can't believe everything that's happened. I can't believe the changes around the world. What will 2021 bring? Don't look at the news. Well, we'll look first at God's work. And then the news will verify the prophetic fulfillment. You just have to stay attached to the trunk of the tree. You have to be reading materials from our website. Study the Trumpet Magazine. You have to watch the Key of David program. You have to stay attuned to KPCG programming. We say this all the time, but really, it's just so clear how important all of this is. Events are speeding up. The complexity of the events is deepening. We urge you to stay connected. Don't forget to send us your feedback. I'm out of time here. We really do appreciate your loyalty to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, to all of the other programming. Come back tomorrow. And hopefully you'll be able to see things probably better that you can't see me. But anyway, come back tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have Stephen Fleury back with us, and just get into a very exciting turn of the year. Have a great day.